This is Jan Barbas for Curry Coast Community Radio, KCIW, and Curry Matters. Welcome to our show. With me today is Jim Relaford, the incumbent and candidate for position number 2 of the Port of Brookings Harbor Board of Commissioners. Welcome, Jim.
Thank you.
Jim, you have a long history of business and public involvement. Tell us a little about your history and how you came to Curry County.
I actually started coming to Curry County in the early 80s, mid-80s. I'm an avid fly fisherman, and I used to come down here once a month to go fishing. The Rogue River, the Chetco River, the Elk, and I'd fish regularly once a month. And my wife and I used to love to just come to Brookings once a month. So I had a consulting practice in Portland. I had about 7 consultants and 20 employees. And I decided that, well, maybe it's time for us to find a place to work and retire. So we made the decision to take a jump. I gave my practice to the other consultants, and we moved down here in 1992, early 92. We bought a little farm out on Cape Ferrello and started raising hogs and cattle and sheep and never did go fishing again. In fact, I haven't been fly fishing since we moved down here. But we stayed out there on the farm for about 10 years, and then we moved into the city. And it's the first time I'd really gotten involved, and I have always loved sailing, so I started sailing out of the port of Brookings Harbor, fell in love with the port, and I've lived, I live right across the street from the port, I work at the port, and my toys are at the port, so it's a part of a very, very deep part of my life. So that's where I've been.
And you've been involved in a business here in Harbor?
Yes. Mainbrace Technologies was formed 5 years ago from my prior practice that I had in Portland, which was called PRN Data Services. And I've been lucky to find, now we have 10 very bright, young, aggressive males and females that are interested in the IT world. And my job is just to try to corral them and keep them going in the right direction. And the idea is that one of these days they will own the business and I'll be sailing. So maybe.
Well, that sounds good, but I think you might be too busy. Tell us a little bit about your public involvements as well. We're going to cover your port board membership here pretty thoroughly, but tell us about the other things that you're involved in.
Well, one of the things, I'm a saltwater fisherman as well as a sailor, so one of the things I got involved with early on is called the Klamath Management Zone Fisheries Coalition. It's a bi-state commission that basically lobbies the PFMC, which is the governing body for saltwater limits and fishing, every year to get our seasons, recognizing that fishing is an integral part of our whole economy. So the first part of that activity is to go make sure we can, if we can, have a season. In fact, I just got off the phone 15 minutes before you came with our representative in Santa Rosa, and it looks like right now that we'll have a full season this year starting in May and ending in September 7th. So that's great news for us. When we have a sport season like that, we bring a lot of people in from the valley, and they fish, you know, throughout the summer, and that's just a real boost for all of us. I've been involved with the IT functions in the city and at the port since 1994. One of my first customers was the Port of Brookings Harbor. I automated their whole system for the very first time in 1994. Put a network system in, put an accounting system in. I have serviced for 10 years. I was the IT role for the city of Brookings, so I'm very familiar with how the city works. And I supported the 911 systems throughout the county. I worked in developing the first GIS systems that the county now has. So my role has really been an IT function. with the available. I've worked with tribes. The Smith or the Rancheria is a customer of ours. We've just recently became the IT source for Curry Community Health, which is the nonprofit that spun off from the county. We now, all six locations are their IT support people, and we handle their servers and their whole network. So that's, you know, if it has to do with IT, I started in the business in 1967 and have not ever left it. So
that's quite a background and quite a lot of involvement that you've done to shape Curry and the economy. Let's move into the meat of the matter. You're a candidate for Port Commissioner position number 2, and you're the incumbent and running opposed this time. You've been a commissioner for 8 years. What do you have left to accomplish? In particular, what do you want to accomplish that you don't see happening already today?
The last 8 years, we've spent basically what I call remedial work, bringing the port financially to a position where it has options, which it never had before. And we've done that successfully. We also, my goal was to help change the culture of the port, where rather than being strictly oriented toward entitlements for some commercial fishermen, it's a port for everybody. The larger issue that I see undone is that the port district is a very large district, and we are chartered as a commissioner and as a commission to promote economic welfare and well-being throughout the district. And it's very difficult for some people to think beyond our 40 acres that we have down here on the water. We have just the same responsibility for 40 acres on Cape Ferrello as we do as the 40 acres down here. So my goal would be for the next 4 years to see the port involved in things that can develop our economy, whether they be here at the port as it currently exists or throughout the district. And there are a lot of ways to do that. We measure my success, I would think, in the terms of jobs. That's how you measure economic success. And there's a big difference between my opponent this year and me as to how we consider jobs. Roger is totally committed to the port, will make a great commissioner if the voters choose him. But we have a real difference. Roger focuses on tourism as the economic impetus for our community. I like tourism. I think it's important, but I don't think tourism is ever going to get us where we need to be economically. We develop jobs. It's true in the summertime. The jobs are generally minimum wage jobs. They're waitresses or they're clerks, and they go away in the wintertime. So my goal would be to establish some sort of an economic driver that may or may not be located right here at the port that delivers full-time family wage jobs. And we can do that in two ways. We should take advantage of the assets we already have, which is the commercial fishing fleet. In order to maximize that fleet, we need to have a fish processing plant. If we do that plant properly, we can employ 30 full-time family wage jobs immediately. So we should do that. We should do it right now. We should enlarge our water surfaces, our port, so we can accommodate more boats, more fishing boats. When we bring a new boat into our harbor, it brings us revenue in numerous ways. Not only do they bring fish over the product, over the docks, but they buy ice from us. They use our boatyard to repair their boats. They pay moorage to us. There's all kinds of ways that new boat is an economic driver. So I think we need to enlarge our waterway and with the sole intent of increasing increasing commercial fishing. Now, having said that, I think there are other ways. We have a huge opportunity that's right in front of us that most people don't realize, and that's that for the first time ever, this last year, we completed a fiber network from the coast over to Grants Pass, which connects into the fiber network that goes to Medford and hits the I-5 network, which gets us a self-healing fiber loop. Now, with that, which means that we can provide high-speed bandwidth to Brookings without the risk of cut lines shutting everything down. So having that self-healing loop of high bandwidth allows a business that depends on that to live anywhere they want. They don't have to be in Silicon Valley now. They can be here. You could move a small business up here that could grow developing software. There's no reason that the next killer app for the iPhone can't come out of a single programmer working up here on a high-speed fiber connection. I want to do that. I want to make that happen. One way or the other, we need to take advantage of that. That's a driver, and those are high-paid jobs. It flows from that. If we do that, all of a sudden we have families. Families have children. Children go to school. When they go to school, we have income for the schools. So it all ties together, but we have to have the kernel, which is the job. Okay, so I didn't mean to preach, but that's what I what I intend to do in the next 4 years.
Well, that was the question, so that was good. We're going to touch on a few of those a little more specifically as we go along, I hope, if we don't run out of time. Right now, I'd like to hear about the green building.
What green building? I don't even know anything about a green building.
Well, I think it might be just over there to our right. We're down here in the port talking to Jim, and it's kind of sitting there deteriorating, and I think it's using up some port resources, but it's a real knotty.
It's a tough nut to crack.
Here's
the bottom line on the building, and it's one that I'll give you my opinion. We owe right now about $800,000 on the building. That's to the state of Oregon. The building right now is worth about $375,000. Okay, and that's if you could sell it. We've had engineering studies, a new number of them, in order to bring the building up to a position where it could be occupied, inspected and occupied, it's going to cost about $1.2 million. Okay, if you pencil out, in effect, even if we were able to work a deal with the state and we didn't have to pay that $800,000 off with a sale of this building, even if you just use $1.2 million and you try to pencil out how you're going to make money on that with 10,000 square feet, only about 8,000 square feet of rentable space, it doesn't pencil. You can't make a profit at it. You have to be charging almost $2 a square foot in order to make a profit. Well, our market is about $1 a square foot. So It's an almost intractable problem. It sits here. It's too expensive to finish. The estimate we have right now is that it's about $200,000 to tear it down, which we don't have, and would really like not to do that. So the only way that I can see that building, we are, in my opinion, going to have to tear it down, unless, and there's a big unless here. The only way that building can come to life is with a grant for a nonprofit organization. If a nonprofit could get a grant for about $1 million with a match of $200,000, that building could come alive, and it could be used at whatever the use for that nonprofit would be. But there is no commercial entity that can make that building profitable. So that's why it's sat there so long. I know that the port has received many more, but I personally have received well over 10 business plans for that building that I've gone through that range anywhere from a pizza store, to all kinds of things. And the bottom line is once the prospect gets the numbers and works the models, he's 25, 30 years out here before it breaks even. And that's something that, no one's going to do. So we have to, in my view, we have to make a decision on that this year. And we have to, the decision is, do we tear it down or do we try to find a nonprofit that can do something with it? My guess is that we'll tear it down.
Thank you. Everybody's concerned about taxes. The port has a positive cash flow. Is it time to reduce or eliminate the levying of taxes by the port district?
With the news that we just received about the fishing season this year, I'm assuming that we're able to hold the line like we have been the last 3 years. I'm going to make a proposal at the near the end of this fiscal year that we eliminate the property tax. If the numbers aren't there, I'm going to propose that we reduce the property tax. It's a $200,000 number against a $3 million budget, so it's not a huge number. At the same time, we do have responsibilities for stuff out here at the port that we don't have any revenue from. The restrooms, for example, we have to maintain the fishing docks, the public fishing areas, the public access areas. We have to maintain those, and that's a cost that generates no revenue. But at the same time, we're doing well enough where I would love to be in a position to be able to go to the tax holder or taxpayer and say, hey, we're going to give you back your money this year. That would be rare.
Well, I think we'd like to see some of these districts do a little more of that. I've heard suggestions. Well, you've already spoken about a fish processing plant, and also I've heard about a gambling boat. You've said you favor the fish processing. So tell us what you think about a gambling boat. But for both ideas, tell us how the port can actually work to make them happen.
Well, I think a gambling boat's a little far out. I don't see that happening. So I'm not even going to address that one.
All right, let's
processing, but it may be something else. It could be X out here that could be an opportunity. Here's where the port is really unique in that we can partner with private entities. I expect us to partner with a private entity out here for this fish processing plant. By partnering, it's just like a business venture where you partner and you share in the risks and you share in the profits. We can do that because that's our charter, is to be in business. Now, what do we have to put into the partnership? We have land. And that's very important for some of these things. They have to be located in certain places. So if we could, as a part of a partnership, put the land into the partnership, that all of a sudden, at $1 million an acre, gives you quite an investment. So we should be looking at things like that, where we can attract private capital and use our public resources to partner with people. And that's how we're going to develop this port. It's not going to be with taxpayer dollars, and it's not going to be with grants from the state and the feds. It's going to be private capital that's going to develop this port. And we have to be able to do that properly. And we have some assets to bring to the table.
All right. Well, that sounds encouraging. The big difference that I've seen so far between Roger Thompson and you is the issue of annexation. And you're on record favoring annexation, I think. Go ahead and tell us a little bit about it and why you favor it.
Well, remember
Let me be clear. We were just talking annexation of port-owned properties.
Okay, I was just going to caveat that.
That's all right.
I'm not prepared to make the statement that all of Harbor should be annexed. I don't know that that's good for the city or for Harbor, but I do know, in my opinion, that it is very good for the port to annex its property into the city. And I've given these three reasons. I know people, their eyes will roll when I give them again. But one is law enforcement. Okay, now people have asked me, well, you're on record of being for the sheriff's department. Annexation would bring the city police over here. Isn't that a contradiction? And I say, no, we need a fully funded sheriff's department and a fully funded police department. We need both. And this would give us, anytime we start talking private investment, which is what we're going to have to talk to in order to develop our port, the things that an investor looks at are infrastructure. What is your law enforcement like? I'll give you just a quick example. Why are all the national stores locating in the city of Brookings? They're not locating in Harbor. So that's one reason. The second reason is water. And I know that people say that you're an alarmist and you're this is a once-in-a-lifetime thing that happened last year. I don't think so. I think the science is pretty clear that we have rising seas. It's anybody that looks at that and says that it's not true is just not willing to read the facts. Rising seas and high tides and low water flows in the river are what cause salty water for us. So far, we have no snowpack. We have nothing to say that we're going to have anything but low water in our river this summer. I think it is going to be low, and I think we're going to have high tides, and I think we're going to have bad water again. Now, we have a responsibility here not only to the tenants that are here at the port, but we have some restaurants. We have four restaurants that we have to service here at the port, plus we have thousands of visitors that stay at the RV park and that come through here, and it's not a real testament to our area when we tell them, well, here's your space and you've got this beautiful ocean view, but don't drink the water. I mean, that doesn't say very much for us, does it?
No, not really. So, well, I want to cover these other issues, so I'm going to...
But anyway, I am on record for that, for annexing the port property, and I still believe very strongly in that.
All right. One idea that I've heard you mention, kind of a boutique crab mail order operation, something like Omaha Steaks. How do you see the port building that enterprise? Are you talking about attracting an entrepreneur? How would you facilitate that as the port entity?
Well, I think that clearly that's an entrepreneurial endeavor, and I think that we should attract that. What we can do, once again, is we have the crab fishermen. We have the crab processing, potentially, if we have a fish plant here. All we need is an enterprising young IT whiz to come up with a website that could advertise this. I don't see, but we get used to, we think Dungeness crab, we have it at Christmas time, and it's not a big deal to us. But when you're in Omaha and you have a chance to have a real fresh Dungeness crab, it's a big deal, just like it is to get a Maine lobster. You know, when they send you 3-pound, 1-pound Maine lobsters, and you get it overnight, it's pretty neat dinner the next day. So we could sell that. We already have the private people, private businesses out here that could work with that. You know, the Hallmark Fisheries, BC Fisheries. All I see there is just an opportunity for somebody with relatively low capital to get into a business that's boutique. I already checked it with FedEx and with UPS, and with proper packing, they can have it shipped anywhere in the country overnight. You get it into them by 3:00, they'll have it in Omaha the next day. I can also see a scenario where we have cameras, video cameras, live cameras on our commercial salmon catch. And a restaurant in San Francisco can be looking at, here's 7 salmon. Okay, I want the 3rd one, and I want it shipped down here tonight so I can cut it up and serve it at my restaurant tomorrow. There's no reason we can't do that. And that's high-dollar stuff. People expect to spend a fair amount of money to get that kind of service. There's no reason we can't do that.
I think we sit here in Brookings and sometimes we forget the market that exists outside.
It's huge.
It's huge, and there is some money.
That kind of flows in with my idea of the IT.
Yeah, let's move into that. Okay. What are you? You're not talking. You're talking data centers and all kinds of things, but not really right here at the port. Why don't fill us in? Fill us in.
Well, as I said earlier, I believe that we have a responsibility to the district, which is from Pistol River all the way to the California border. One of the things that we could do, in my opinion, to attract family wage jobs again or high paying jobs is to build out a facility for IT entrepreneurs. Okay, the place to start that, the port should be the ramrod for this activity. But I believe that we could find grants that could fund a fully staffed computer lab at the high school. Okay, so we can start these kids as freshmen in high school with productive coding. How do you make programs work? What's three-dimensional stuff? Continue that up through the college where we could put a data center, where we could host websites, where we could work on, build on the education that the college, that the high school had, rather. Now, the idea there would be to have a group of IT entrepreneurs that would like to leave Silicon Valley and live in paradise. Who wouldn't like to code programs sitting here looking out over the ocean the way we have, watching the whales? I mean, I think it's a natural, and I think it brings in the kind of work and the kind of jobs that we need to have. So call me pie in the sky, but that's what I believe.
One last question. We have time for one last question. I think your opponent is stressing building tourism, and you've said you think tourism is important. How would you work with the city of Brookings to promote tourism?
Well, it kind of goes back to my theory about annexation, why I think we should do that. In order for us to really maximize tourism, we need to have a comprehensive plan that incorporates not only the harbor, but the city of Brookings, the waterfront that Brookings has, the downtown area. We are one community, whether we like it or not. Tourism needs to be, the port can be the focus to bring them in. If we want to maximize that tourist dollar, he has to come from here and get uptown some way, find a reason to go uptown, buy something, then come back down here and stay at a motel or stay at the RV park and decide, because it's such a delightful community, I'm going to stay a week and I want to go fishing tomorrow. So I'm going to go over to Tidewinds and charter a fishing trip. That's the tourism that we want. And in order to do that, we have to have a plan that is comprehensive between the port and the city. And I believe that's essential for our growth, is that comprehensive plan.
All right. Well, this has been Jan Barbas with Port Commissioner incumbent and candidate Jim Relaford for Curry Coast Community Radio, KCIW, and Curry Matters. If you have enjoyed this show, we ask that you help us get on the air. Please consider joining KCIW as a founding member or a major donor. And thank you, Jim. It was a pleasure talking to you today.
Thank you. I enjoyed that.